thing is organizing us. Because members are strong, studying, training, and so forth and so on. But nevertheless, let's start our meeting. Those who have not yet joined us, then join us. The department, I'm sure you are all ready. I can see the people from the department are here. I would request that we should start our meeting with the report on the NLTA, because we agreed that we'll be taking a report, and I'm told that the report was emailed to members. So members do have gadgets. So when you see people looking at their phones, you must not think they are calling anybody. They are looking at that bill. Can we start with that bill, members? As we have agreed last week. Let me hear from members.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, in light of the report, and particularly the last paragraph, you might recall that I made a submission at the time based on the fact that I could recall that there were particular issues from SALGA. And the issues related to the Amendment Act Section 11 of the Act 5 of 2000, where there was a concern about constitutionality, and in particular with the delegation of powers between the three spheres of government and the suggested role, overarching role, in the new amendment of the minister then, according to the submission at the time of SALGA, impeding on the current delegation of powers and authority in terms of the functions and roles around public transport in local government specifically. Upon that submission which I made, you then suggested cooperation and then opening up the opportunity for a discussion. In light of that, Chair, and because we supported the suggestion, because we have no problem in principle in going ahead with the NLTA Act as suggested, as tabled, other than that we feel it is incomplete. And even in approving it in the House, we would want to see further expansion of what is an attempt to get a proper arrangement between the different modes of public transport. So, Chair, I would then ask whether, in fact, there was any engagement between the entities, being the Department and SALGA, after which it is your prerogative then to discuss the suggested report. Thank you, Chair.
Putting me at a fix, but let me attempt to answer that, Honourable Hansing. I did not give SALGA the news. I think SALGA was represented when we were talking about that. This morning SALGA was here to try and understand that, and they engaged me, and I told them that we do understand their concern. I think we are agreeing that we should be able to do something about that immediately after this process, because as it is, we do have some very few choices. And I gave the rep of SALGA our proposals. As a result, he is not going to be here because he understands that we want to deal with this matter after this process. After this bill has signed, has been signed, I think the House understands that, and we should be able to help SALGA beyond this process.
Thank you, Chair. I then propose that we consider the tabled and the formulated report as it was handed out in the draft form, recognizing the concern of the Democratic Alliance in the same format, emphasizing the fact that Section 11 of the Act could and does have the potential in its current form of constitutionality. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. There we are. The report is thereby tabled for adoption by members. Let me see a mover. A mover. Where is the mover? Members do not want to move for the report. What is your problem? We're not live today. We can fight if you... Yes, move. There's a mover and a second. Thank you very much.
A second.
Thank you very much. Or let me do that, ANC. Are you happy with the report? IFP? Do we have IFP here? Okay. The discussions I can see. Freedom Front Plus, happy. Fighters? So-so. DA is happy. Thank you. Thank you, honorable members. Are we ready to can deal with welcome, honorable deputy minister? Yes, honorable member.
Apologies, Chairperson. I just wanted to, for the Chairperson to note that I would like to raise an issue before we conclude with our meeting today. So if you can offer me that opportunity, please.
You should remind me before we conclude, because of age difference between the two of us, I might look like I'm ignoring your request. So you should just remind me politely if you see I've forgotten. Right? Can we then deal with the issues that we'll deal with today, the committee input on the draft strategic plan of the Department of Transport? Are we ready, honorable members? Input. Honorable MacDonald, are we there? If we don't have inputs, we can say we don't have inputs and allow this document then to be processed further. If we have inputs, I think this is the time. Or you want me to give you more time, deal with it right at the end? I'm flexible. Honorable Hansinger?
Chair, as I understand, you want us to give input on the department strategic plan.
Yes, yes.
Chair, the first point of concern is reflected on page 14 of this report, where as an outcome, improved transport safety and security is a particular priority set out for the future. But immediately, you know, when we look at outcome indicators, baseline, and, you know, the five-year target, this is related to reducing the number of crashes, road crashes. And certainly that might be a particular outcome, but I would suggest that this is aligned to enforcing the information platform, which in a very positive way has seen an increase in the scope of what is being reported in the annual crash reports of RTMC. But that is absorbed within the baseline and the outcome indicators, and that we don't just focus on one particular aspect thereof. There's also an intention to reduce fraud and corrupt incidences in the road traffic environment, which I find very difficult to measure. So why would one take that up as a particular indicator where the measurability thereof is so difficult, where there are other opportunities and certainly other ways to then improve results as an alternative? Then I also find it very strange that under the heading of improving transport safety and security, improved operational efficiency and delivery of driving licenses is included. Surely it should be a given that driving licenses should have a particular turnaround time, and I know it's reflected somewhere else in the strategy report, but that shouldn't be a safety priority. There are other issues around transport that should be of such high priority than to make this and mention this as the third most important priority under the heading of improving transport safety and security. Now, under safety continued, there's also no attempt to include the safety of commuters on rail in terms of access in infrastructure. In other words, where's the urgency reflected to get electricity to all stations so that there could be security cameras, so that there could be enough light, so that in early morning and late night when commuters access and leave stations, that is achieved? And I would want to see very particular measurable outcomes in that we say of the stations 50% don't have electricity, and that we would want to see lighting and secure access within a 5-year period with a reduction of 30% in the next 3 years. That type of thing would really be encouraging and a true expression of the current state of affairs. So, Chair, I can carry on for the rest of the morning because these are just a couple of examples of what this committee has said all along. And what we've said is we seek and would want to see bigger alignment between the outcomes and what we hear when we do oversight and when we are amongst constituencies and within constituencies. So, Chair, this could take up the rest of our committee agenda because this was just a slight reflection of impression. And I would want to ask you then to give us direction in this regard, because surely each and every of these aspects can result in a debate in itself. So if you could give us guidance on how we handle this further, or whether you would see us really debate this in the rest of this morning. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Let me take another input, if there is input, before I say what I want to say. Okay. Can we maybe agree, DM, I don't see the DG, and I think Memola is temporarily acting. Can we agree that we should be allowed maybe up until tomorrow, those who want to give written submissions, to do that? Is that in order? You want to say next week? Yeah, I know my members now. I can see their posture. DM, is that in order?
Thank you, Chairperson. The DG is stuck in traffic, but the proposal that you are making is also in order.
We do observe the stacking in traffic of the DG of transport. We do observe that. It means if the whole DG is stacked, things are not looking very good, but it's okay. Thank you, DM. By next week, honorable members. Okay. Can we then move over to the next item? The continuation of the briefing by the Department of Transport on the Road Accident Benefit Scheme Bill, B17B of 2017. Let's hear from the department. Briefing. Yeah, briefing by the department. Welcome, DG. Okay. No, we're told that we're stuck in traffic. We are in your hands. We'll allow you some space to connect, because we are connecting these days. That is the continuation on the briefing by the department on the Road Accident Fund, which the briefing started last week. If you can just recall, honorable members and everybody. I'm sure your notes are still ready. As they are preparing, we know that this is a continuation of yesterday, but can we get who's here? I'm sure Valerie, you are ready. Apologies.
Chair, there's no apologies from the members. Everyone is here that said that they will be here. Ms. Nolichungwe is still. Apologize as far as the session goes, Shane.
DG?
Chair.
Yes, honorable member.
With your respect, the document that was presented to you yesterday, are we going to be able to peruse it as members of the protection, please?
Which document, honorable member? Which document?
Yesterday.
Yesterday, this meeting resolved in those meetings, please, honorable member. We had a resolution in that meeting. Did you?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. My apologies for being late. I followed a march to Parliament on Roland Street, and they have blocked one lane, so I religiously followed it. I have no trust in that agreement, and I'm sorry. road accident benefit scheme is the presentation we're making before the committee today. Just as a bit of background, Chair, before we go into the actual presentation. The road accident fund scheme was conceptualized under the apartheid government as a social scheme. It was intended to alleviate injuries as well as to compensate for those who have died as a result of the roads. As a consequence thereof, over the years, policing on the roads became quite weak, if we may put it that way. And with the creation of the new municipalities and the conglomeration of the municipalities in terms of the transitional councils, the policing on the roads became even more weaker than it was before, resulting in a number of increases in road deaths. To give a perspective to members to understand, the UK has a number of cars and a ratio of accidents to those cars. Comparable to them, we South Africa have a third of the number of cars on the roads, despite the size of our thing. But the cars in the UK are cheaper, and the cars are readily available, and even the resale of vehicles is quite easier. So we have a third of vehicles than the UK, but the UK's ratio of accidents to vehicles is now, in terms of the number of deaths on their roads per annum, is sitting on average at about 900 people, or 900 deaths per year on the roads. In our context, we are sitting at 13,971 on average, almost 14,000 every year, with a third of vehicles that the UK has. So there is a direct correlation between the number of accidents on the road and what is happening with the road accident fund. So in our case, the scheme that was based on the UK model, the conditions are totally different from what we have to do. So in order to ameliorate the current positioning of the current fund, we have to look at two important critical interventions. The first one is to address the root cause and mitigate accidents on the road by better policing, by improving our roads, and ensuring that in the main we are able to save deaths. And amongst this include measures to have more safer cars, to have measures to regulate better cars, and ultimately the reduction of congestion on the roads by shifting more people away from single user vehicle users into public transport, and in the main rail as a anchor mode of public transportation. That's the first part, because I think this is one of the key things that emerges all the time, the criticism that why are we not addressing the root cause. We are. But even if we were to address the root cause, the model of the fund itself, the way it is, it has been overtaken by developments and the circumstances, and by the nature of the country we are, and by the nature of our previous spatial planning, we will not be able to fairly look back like the UK in the next 20 to 40 years. But we have to work towards there, and where public transport is a first mode of choice of transportation. But then what happens in the next 20 to 40 years while we are pursuing this intervention that I've spoken about? If we do not act on the second intervention of modifying and changing the current construct of the current fund, then we will pull down the national fiscus, and we will pull down the entire country with the road accident fund. So we have an obligation to change the structuring of this fund. It is a social fund, and I will say why I say so. And indeed, if it is a social fund, and it was intended to be, and there is a motivation that we continue on that trajectory, then certainly does not belong in government transport. And as part of the broader social security
mandate, it has to shift to social development, and it has to be managed by FAFA as a grant for those who, by injury or otherwise, must be handled elsewhere. Then it shouldn't be the problem. But however, as defeatist in nature, even if you were to move it exactly as it is to that other department, you have not resolved the issues of what it will do and the impact it will have on the national fiscus. So with this background, it is important then to understand why we are pursuing this new scheme, the Road Accident Benefit Scheme, and there is a reason why we even call it in that way. There was a commission, in truth, this scheme, or the initial scheme, is more than 70 years old. And it is, as I've indicated, quite outdated. But over the 70 years, it has been reviewed, tweaked all the time. But the major review came with the so-called the Statutory Commission, which looked for the first time, not at the niggling TPT here and there, but looked at the scheme in totality and said what can be done. The Statutory Commission gave a number of recommendations, which previous administrations have not taken all of them to the logical conclusion. Even now, it will be objectively quite unrealistic to expect that all of the Statutory Commission's recommendations can actually be implemented all at once. It will have to be phased in gradually. And I think the RAPS bill is the first major attempt at getting some of those key considerations and recommendations into being and into enactment. We believe, Chair, that a scheme of this nature on two grounds has got to address two things. And then I will come to the gross weaknesses of the current fund. First, the scheme has to have defined benefits. What is it that you can expect to get should you be injured in an accident or should you die in an accident? Right now, it's a free fall. There are no limits. Anything goes. This is how this current scheme works. There are no limits. Anyone can do anything. That's the first part, and which is what makes most funds. To make this thing and bring it closer home, I believe almost all honorable members here are financially literate and should be having life covers and life policies. And the easiest way for me to bring it home is to understand it in that context. A good life cover and a good scheme communicates to you what is it that you are buying, what is the actual cover you are buying. You actually say, should you die, we will pay you formula. If you die by accident, you get the formula. If you die by gunshot wound, you get formula. If you die a horrible death, thieves enter your house at night and they stab you 54 times and you bleed to death and you die horribly, you still get the formula. Doesn't matter how you die. Bottom line is that you produce the death certificate or you ask somebody or beneficiaries produce the death certificate and they are entitled to the defined benefit that you have got, the cover you have. It will not be that because you died peacefully at night in your sleep, you deserve the $4 million. But if you died horribly via stab wounds, then all of a sudden it becomes $7 million. But in the road accident funds, that is exactly what happens. The circumstances and the nature of the injuries and how you died and everything determines what ultimately becomes your payout. We even have ridiculous claims of people who say, when I was in hospital for 3 months and I was lying on that bed, I'm married, you see, and there are certain responsibilities I have to my partner that I should have performed and I was not performing them, and for loss of affection and stuff, I want an additional amount. So this is what the Road Accident Fund is objected to. But it is because it's an open-ended scheme and everybody can claim anything. In fact, there is a case of Professor Aslosh. I think it has been reported widely. All of you know about it.
where in one claim the road accident fund that had to pay is originally just one claim, one settlement. And because this fellow is a fellow who comes from Switzerland, a Swiss citizen, he's a neurosurgeon, and he used to perform on average about 4 operations in a week, and he was paid $12. Top guy. He comes for a holiday here and he drives with his wife. Off they go to the game reserves, and when they come back, there's an irresponsible taxi driver who's overtaking him on a burial line, and it causes an accident. And then he is hospitalized, private care. The road accident fund has to cover all of that. But his claim comes for the wife who passed on, his own injuries, and the fact that he may never be able to work again. Now after the accident, his hands are shaking, he's no longer going to be able to operate as a neurosurgeon and all of the greater stuff. He claims the money, and he claims it in terms of the euros, and calculated how much he would have had. The earnings of his wife, who was a pediatrician herself, any every other thing, and the entire quantum of the claim and the settlement that was reached was astronomical. But the truth be told is that this is the nature of the fund we're in. People can claim as high as they can, and I think this is the biggest weakness. So the new benefit scheme seems to address the issue of the benefits and the scale of the claims by classification of the injuries one could have had, and also upon death, how much, and the quantum for which can be done. And for the first time, it gives the power to government to determine how much that maximum benefits we can determine. The second part, which this scheme must do and must go far enough to do, which even in the current bill, we are not that far as we should be, is the fact that there are no exclusions, Chair. Currently, the fact that you may have been the wrong party to the accident, and in fact, even worse, you could have potentially been breaking the law. You were over speeding. You were driving at 160 on a 60 kilometer zone, and you caused an accident. Somehow, even if you die, although you were the guilty party in this case and you were breaking the law, you are entitled to claim from the road accident fund, and the exclusions are not necessarily there. But let's take yet another example. If you go to the UK today and you land at London Heathrow, and you walk into their AVs and say you want to book a car, rent a car, and drive there, they'll say, good, show us your international driver's license, you show it. Their next question is, where's your insurance? If you do not have it, you will not have that car. They can sell it to you and you can buy it on the spot, and then you drive. But the exclusions of the nature of the contract are regulated to the extent that you are then required to be able then to ensure yourself and to exempt the scheme in the UK from claiming from them because you have your own insurance. But here in South Africa, we do not have that. It's a free-for-all, everybody can do as they please. So we want, with this new scheme, to put exclusions in place and to prove the benefits and define them so that we have broad parameters of what can be and what can be. So obviously, those who are current beneficiaries of the current system will not like this idea. They will not like the changes that are there. It's best as it is. But we have, in many instances, looked at the anecdotal evidence as well as some research done by the current funding service, which shows that the biggest beneficiaries are everybody except the real victims. And this is not right. And I think that even some of the things the current fund is fighting, which were being threatened left, right, and center, but we are quite resolute in our mandate to make sure that we turn this fund around. This fund will pull the whole fiscal to the drain. Current fund is edging stronger and stronger and is contesting ESCOM's position as the single biggest threat to the national fiscal. And now, at about 450 billion rand in the red, this scheme will pull the national fiscal down. It will take this country down. It will become another Greece unless we act firmly and act fast. So from where we are sitting, this is what the context and the background is. And for that reason, Chair, I've covered a lot of the issues I had wanted to look at. I can go to the issue in terms of what the chapters and of the new bill covers, and then we can go into them in detail. But that is the context and the background why we think that where we are sitting, we think that as a country, we can debate issues of the how, but really the what and the if, I don't think that is an issue that is helpful. What is helpful is that we can debate the how. But the current scenario and the future desirable scenario, I think that's pretty obvious for us to look at. And it is for this reason that we are looking at that. Okay. Then if we go to chapter one, it contains the object of the bill as well as the definition that are set in the
chairperson.
Yes, honorable member.
Chairperson, if you would allow me a remark or two on the introduction. I want to submit that I really concur with near to everything that was submitted now. Hence, a chopper flight over all the major issues and challenges around having to compensate road crash victims currently. But what I think is very relevant is the basic principle and the basic issue of the implication of introducing anything parallel to what we currently have based on the principle of a vested right. Because if you introduce anything else in addition to what we currently have, it does not relinquish or delete the current road accident fund, because there is a vested right. And where the fiscus is a huge concern, both the new legislation, whatever that is, and the old legislation will have to be financed. So there's no issue about the necessity to address the principle of the social security responsibility. There's no issue around the fact that it is expensive and financially unsustainable in the benefits scope that we currently have. But what I'm saying is that we should rather consider amending the current act, because in no way can we afford a dual system, because in approving any other legislation, it does not do away with the current one, and both will have to be financed, unless, as the DG maybe have alluded between the lines, is to get rid of the scheme from the Department of Transport and transfer it to social services, just not to make it the responsibility of this department anymore, but certainly it's not out of the equation of the fiscus. So therefore, it is irresponsible to suggest something like that within the bigger scheme. And I'm not saying you are irresponsible. I'm reacting to what you said between the lines, Mr. Mubi. So therefore, Chair, if we can now go into, I see the intent is to go to chapter one, you know, through all the chapters. We need to deal with the principle here. We need to deal with the principle of affordability of a dual scheme. which to me is shouldn't be considered, because it just extends the problem and the outstanding claims are increasing and therefore labouring the national fiscus. And indeed, it's an old problem. It's a problem that has come on from 2002, but the fact that the fiscus outstanding number, the claims is what it is because of the obsession to want to approve RABs instead of facing the problem and amending the Road Accident Fund Act. So therefore, Chair, I really ask for consideration of this committee to convince the department, because we're just having the one submission after the other. Yet last week, in this portfolio committee, we were fairly on the same page in saying let's rather amend the Road Accident Fund Act. Because in the Road Accident Fund Act, you can look at all the definitions, you can look at the definitions of benefits, you can include all limits and exclusions, you can look at all of those elements. There's no reason why in the current Act you cannot include all the desires of improving the dispensation going forward. So I'm asking for this committee to really consider the implications of a dual system, because in approving any other legislation, you will have to deal with a vested right in that people would still have a option to claim under the old Act. And therefore, RABs shouldn't be considered, and we should rather, as soon as possible, start working on amending the current Road Accident Fund Act.
Well, I think what the Honourable Member was saying is that some of the presentation we had, and but I think we still, I still have to allow the DG to rep properly and get to this point. The member is right. We did say something, but we agreed that there will be a continuation and we'll allow the DG to say whatever they want to say. DG.
No, thank you very much, Chair. In truth, it is not envisaged either by this bill or by the intent of the department to have a dual system. And we do not even envisage a situation where there is duality. Where we are sitting, there will be no duality.
Chair, last point of order, please. Can we ask the DG to stick to the presentation, take us through and try and resist responding so that we can stick to the facts? We will then have an opportunity if you want to engage in terms of responses. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I think that is correct. I was saying the DG should wrap up his presentation, but also in a way indicate, honourable members, where is the department standing in terms of this issue, because that is going to be the real issue as we debate, as you wrap up, DG.
Yeah, I think this has now unsettled me in terms of because I hear you, Chair, and I respect the decision of the committee that I need to focus on what I was to present and wrap up. It becomes an exercise in futility. I may as well wrap up here if the position is already arrived at. That says. That's a challenge.
No, there's no position arrived at. We do not have a position. We are at a point of discussion. That is why I'm saying touch on these pertinent issues. Then let's get to that point of us taking a position. We are going to take a position today.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Chapter 2 deals with establishment of administrator of the new scheme, declares the financial year as well as duties and powers, and among the key issues that it provides for is the issue of disputes resolution mechanisms that have been added into the new bill. And if you look as well, Chair, to Chapter 3, we provide for governance matters of this. It provides for the appointment of a chairperson as well as a deputy chairperson of the new board. And it also provides for issues pertaining to term of office, resignations and dissolutions of board, the day-to-day operations that the administrator carries out in terms of the bill. We're looking as well as Chapter 4, looking at in the main, the key issue there is the power to transact as well as the issues pertaining to the road accident benefit scheme levies that can be imposed in terms of the Customs and Excise Act. This is right in conjunction, and Treasury has been consulted upon this so that it becomes a money's bill, and therefore it's a bill that can be championed by the Treasury. We also look in terms of this several powers related to asset management issues that are covered from B until F there. If you look at further related here too is the issue of payment of benefits that's provided for quite in detail in Chapter 6 of the Act. And we also look at the issues pertaining to Section 28, which provides for the consultation between the Minister of Transport and Finance. And we also look at the premiums related to any claims or reinsurance scheme and the maintenance of the main account. Chair, if we move quickly, and I'll pass through this area and go to Chapter 5, where it provides for the limitation of liability of the administrator as well as the exclusion of liability of the owners, drivers and employer of drivers involved in road accidents. Before this was covered by the carrier's liability, and now we're putting clarity between the relationship between the different parties involved there too. If we go to Chapter 6, it provides for a list of benefits, and this is where we deal with the crux of the defined benefit and the crux of the scheme itself. And we also look at the issues in respect of negligence and wrongful conduct on the part of the owner of the vehicle involved in an accident. This is one of the areas which biggest contention is about in as far as this is concerned. But we think that it's a necessary evil to have included into the legislation. I now wish to move to the Chapter 7, which provides for the procedure of the lodgement of claims and obligations of claimants as well as beneficiaries. And we are also making it formal, we're bringing formalities around the legality of lies and fraud that has been characterized in the current scheme that we're in. Chapter 8 and 9 provides for appeals of claimants, and it also provides for general provisions with regards to the administrator's liability. One of the things we seek to do in this regard, particularly about what is provided for in Chapter 7 and the accompanying 8 and 9, is to simplify the process of applications or claims, and is to make sure that ordinary citizens can do claims on their own. It should be as easy as it is for ordinary citizens to claim on their own, and I think this is where most people are quite unhappy with us and those businesses that have been established exclusively to do only road accident funds are fighting us about, and that's why the undesirability of the ramps becomes the key focus on why it's been rejected. It's not been rejected because it's inherently a bad scheme. It's been rejected because the vested interests are saying the current scheme must change so that people can continuously do work on behalf of claimants who actually in the new scheme can claim themselves, and they can be liberated to free themselves to do their work more easier. So that's where I will wrap up, Chair. But if I seek your indulgence to clarify the issues that were raised, then I can do so, but I'll do it only with your permission.
I think give us that clarity, DG, because immediately after this we are going to get involved in terms of some discussion.
Thank you, Chair. As I've indicated, the position of the department is that we do not envisage a scenario of duality. In truth, what you need to do is that you need to provide for such a scenario. Rights that have been accrued, what the Honourable Member called vested rights, that have been accrued prior to the establishment of the new fund or the new scheme. Yes, indeed, the National Fiscal owes those people. The determination has got to be made by the current rules. In a match, you don't change the rules as you go by. If you are unhappy about the rules, after the match, you amend the rules. And then the new match, as it starts, it's played on the new rules. But the old match must be completed on the old rules. But there is no time that we envisage that there will be one match played on the old rules and the other one be played on the that. But the result of the old match remains in this thing. So as it is, in reality, you have to gazette a date on which all accidents that have occurred on a specific date will be covered by the Road Accident Fund. And from the next day of that date going forward, all accidents that happen there, the claimants have got to claim. From the date of proclamation, they've got to claim according to the new scheme. So there is a date ending the old scheme and the new date starting the new scheme. And what remains from the old scheme is a liability that the National Fiscal has got to cover and deal with and clear. Going forward, the new scheme applies and that the claims must work according to that. So obviously there will be no duality, but there will be legacy issues. And this is a big difference. Duality speaks of where both systems are running concurrently, where people are claiming according to the Road Accident Fund and where others are claiming according to RAPS. And that's what we're talking about is not duality. There will become a day where people do not claim according to RAPS. They claim according to RAPS. And there's no duality there. There can be legacy issues. Apartheid ended officially, Chair. Apartheid ended officially in 1994. But the legacy of apartheid didn't end in 1994. But you can't say today that South Africa is operating a dual system of apartheid and democracy because there is a legacy of apartheid that hangs on to us. There's no duality. There's a legacy issue that will pertain, but there's no duality. The second issue that has been raised on vested rights, I've addressed that. The rights that have accrued prior to the date of proclamation will be, and the National Fiscal has got to clear that. In fact, they have been accrued. So there's no one who seeks to shortchange anybody. But what we are saying is that we can't continue on this trajectory while we can't. And will a mere amendment to the current Road Accident Fund, the scheme itself was conceptualized as a social. What we are conceptualizing now is an insurance scheme. And I think that we must understand. The two schemes are not the same. And simply putting a lipstick on a pig and making it look nice and having a queue of people who start kissing the pig and saying this thing is nice doesn't necessarily mean that the pig is actually a nice thing. Maybe it is disguised as a nice thing, but it's not a nice thing. So all we are asking is that let's get rid of the pig and get the lamb. And the lamb is what is nice, it makes a good roast and a good brine, it smells also better. So I think that is the context within which we are saying that the scheme must be changed. And forgive my parable, but Jesus, whom we believe in, used a lot of those parables. Thank you.
DM, you want to say something before I allow the members?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think the Director General has really set a mouthful. What becomes very important here is to look, to be forward-looking, to be forward-thinking in the interest of the fiscals in the Republic of South Africa, because the more we procrastinate over the scheme, the more challenging it is for the fiscals. For me, that is what is at the center. And I always like what our minister would say, that the biggest challenge from ESCOM is road accident fund, which actually can be able to collapse the country at the goal. But we are here to have a discussion and to look into the issues that the committee believes we should be able to look into and stand to be guided by the committee as to what and what else and what else can we be able to look into, which can be able to shape the bill to be a better law. That is what we are interested in, but we are also interested in, let's look at the entirety of the South African citizenry and make sure that they get advantaged, because as it is, we have people, I know when we're dealing with this bill last year, you would be told that somebody comes from another country having been injured and come into South Africa and want to claim, because it's a free-for-all kind of a situation with the road accident fund, and that is why we want to strictly it becoming a South African, serving the South Africans and not other people coming to take advantage of the South African situation, which we can be able to change. Because this, for me, I take it, this is a situation that we can be able to change, that it's a scheme that is meant for the South African, that it's a scheme that will be able, as we're dealing with it, I said forward thinking, forward looking, we will be also assisting South Africa with respect to cutting the cloth so that it can be able to suit us, because it is highly challenged as we're talking. And let me say, Chairperson, we stand to be advised, and we're looking forward to making sure that this becomes one of the laws. As has been indicated, we have just scratched the surface with respect to the Sachwa Commission recommendations. And for sure, from time to time, we will be coming once the bill has been accented to, we will come and say this recommendation needs to be looked into as an amendment of this bill. From time to time, we will come back to you also, even with yourself as honorable members, as legislators. We would also be looking at it as, does it meet the threshold, does it meet the requirements by the South Africans? And for me, I take it that the law is not static. From time to time, we'll come back and say we would want to amend, and we move forward along those lines. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister in the Department, Honorable Members. The time is yours. Let's hear Honorable Hansinger, Honorable May, Honorable Shabangu, Mthoni Ishwa, Honorable Mondise, Honorable McDonald, and Honorable Mann. Who else am I missing? Yeah, you see, when we converse amongst ourselves as Zulus, you're not part of us, you may think we've left some people. Mondays, who go on it well? Must buy it. Okay. Honorable Ansinger.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to also recognize the Deputy Minister. I didn't see when she came in, and unfortunately I've got a pillar between me and her, but Deputy. Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity then to react to what we've listened to from the DG and also the very rational remarks from the Deputy Minister. DG, a fascinating submission, you know, reflecting on lipstick on pigs and sports matches and apartheid and so on. Having started off with a remark around apartheid and a legislation which you suggest started in the apartheid years, let me remind you that this legislation dates back, it's Act 56 of 1996 and not before. Chairperson, then to get to the factual parts and the debate around what should be considered. Also from the DG's remark around a particular very unfortunate financial dilemma which the fund had to deal with, of a Swiss foreigner who claimed a huge amount. And the amount was huge also because it had to be paid out in foreign currency, in Swiss franc. Shortly after that incident, through an amendment to the current Road Accident Fund Act 56 of 1996, an amendment was made to counter future claims under the same condition. So that category of potential claim is addressed, and in a similar way, amendments can be made to this Road Accident Fund Act, given the circumstances of a huge fiscal burden through the wide scope of current possible claims. In relation to that, it is not so, as the DG says, that it is an open fund. Every claim is calculated, and nearly every claim is contested, and upon the calculation, arguments follow to then arrive at the settlement amount. And even if it is as open as what the DG alludes to, all of that can be addressed in terms of defining categories and therefore looking at the benefits scope and what is currently available to claim for. Chair, then in terms of the dual system, and after the response of the DG, I do admit that one could interpret dual system in a variety of ways, but fact is, all living people at the potential date of inception of a new act, all living people up until their death have the potential to claim under the old act. Up until. And that can be projections suggest that this can be a dispensation that we have to deal with for 25 to 30 years into the future after approval of any form of a new act. And that is the content of what I refer to as a dual system. Yes, the one declines in terms of quantity and volume and so on. As people, excuse the pun, as people die out, if you like, potential claims, sort of potential decrease. But the fact is, for the majority of the body of existence of both those two graphs, it has to be funded. And at that stage, people will compare the two. And having a thorough understanding of the appendix, which actually carries the formulas and therefore the random sense of benefits that you can compare, people will discover that they have bigger benefits under the old scheme than under the RAB scheme in its current form, and therefore they would execute their choice in claiming under the old scheme.
because the benefits are less in the current form, in if you do a comparison in the way that the formulas are suggested currently. So, Chair, the big challenges which the Deputy Minister is referring to certainly is also a fiscal one. It is budget day today, and we are certainly financially not in a position to afford luxury benefit schemes, and especially not a dual system where the actual financial implications has not been presented. Not one reference has ever appeared on any of these screens in the last 6 years of rand and cents. We've had an actuarial report by Due South, which was pulled apart and never approved. That was the only indication, the only suggestion of numbers trying to explain the implication and real cost of a RAFS scheme. That report was never accepted. In fact, and after that, formulas have changed. So RAFS in its current form, again, is not supported by any financials, and certainly it cannot be afforded that we have two schemes running next to each other and South African motorists financing that. Thank you, Chair.
Somebody says as always, but he's not always in the meeting. Thank you, Deputy Minister and DG, for the presentation that was done. This bill was published in 2011, and up until today, it has not been passed, which shows that it has got problems. And in page 30, I've seen there that the workshops were held in certain towns of the Republic of South Africa. And this consultation was not enough because the poor of the poorest living in rural areas were not task-based to the submission, were not extended adequately to the general public, and that is in itself shows that we are shooting ourselves in the foot or on the foot. If not enough consultation has not been done, it means the public is going to reject this bill. And finally, with regard to the lawyers, we said we failed to control the lawyers when they were claiming for the road accident fund. And now we are talking about the qualifying people. It must be specific what we mean by the qualifying people, because if we say the qualifying people, it means everybody that can write and read will be able to play, and that in itself is going to cause corruption. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. According to information, the Road Accident Fund needs 450 billion to function properly. What proof do we have that it's really 415 billion? Have we got any proof of that? Then, one of the biggest problems is the cost of the attorneys. According to information, they receive 25% of the amount claimed. Sir, I've mentioned it already in the previous meeting. I think it's time that this problem must be discussed with the Law Society. I think they're prepared to reduce the cost. Then the second thing, sir, but very important for me, I still believe in a dual system and that the third party insurance must be compulsory. to fund this as the Road Accident Fund. Then lastly, the law was already amended in 2008 to exclude people from outside South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member Chobe.
Ngibingelele umongameli lelohu ufikela kangqongqoshe uDG nama-officials kanye nawo wonke ama-members. Chairperson, I understand the briefing by the DG and DM and historically background of RAF. But if you check the bill, the RAF, the Road Accident Fund. Go and check, Chairperson, I think you do have on slide number 24, where it says, irrespective of the negligence or other wrongful conduct of the owner of the vehicle involved in the road accident. It means even those who are negligent, they are going to claim. They are going to claim, and they are going to benefit from the new scheme, which is a challenge, Chairperson. And another Chairperson is that one, which was touched by Honourable Shabang. I do remember that I was part of the consultative, or either consultative to provinces, but I don't remember going to Soweto. I don't know, sometimes I was not there, but I don't remember going to Soweto. Because most of this, what happened was they were conducted in town, not in township, not in rural areas. But I don't know, sometimes in Kiana, I was not there in Kiana. I don't remember. But in KwaZulu-Natal, I was in KwaZulu-Natal, I don't remember going to township or either to rural areas. And the other one, Chairperson, is that one of the consultative to traditional leadership. I do remember that they did submit, but I never saw them when we were to come in and present their submission to the portfolio committee. Sometimes I was not there, so I can't say they did it. And I am worried, Chairperson, about the affordability, because we are talking about fiscal. But there's a lot of that we have to discuss about it, because if we want to pass this bill at this forms, it means we are going to fail again. Thank you very much.
Honourable Mhlonishwa, sasithokoze.
Lo ngithokoze kukhulu sihlalo, ngilotshise abalingane abakhona phakathi, ngilotshise nama ababeregisani be-department, silotshise nosekela ungcongcotshe akhona. You know, sometimes it may sound as if some of these arguments were just making them in or perhaps maybe to say we were making them in vain or something. But we had a presentation that was done by DG, and a question, the issue of a dual system. It came from the remarks of what the DG said. And to quote you directly, you said, even if RAPS was to be enacted today, we will still have a situation where we'll still have to settle claims of the Road Accident Fund for the next coming 30 years. And Chair, if at all, you can go back to Hansard, all our meetings are recorded. That is when now we ask, in terms of a dual system. And now the question also comes, Chairperson, to say, the Road Accident Fund is in debt to the tune of 470 billion rand. Now, what happens to the debt when we move on to RAFs? Because yes, understandably, this now, RAF was conceptualized as a socialist scheme fund. You then put in RAFs, which comes in the form of an insurance. Now, what does this mean? It means now that 470 billion rands, obviously as it is now, falls onto the fiscals, which must be absorbed by the fiscals, and already stretched fiscals at that. But then you will then still have claims, as the DG has also said now, even if you put a proclamation date that people that put in claims before a certain date and all of these things, you'll still have people that need to be claiming for road accident fund accidents which happened outside or inside of the window, which would be determined by the powers that be should the bill come into law. So the bill's gripe, obviously, is the issue of a dual system. We having a dual system in place. That is where a deal break of some sort comes, where we need to address some of these issues. And I heard what the Deputy Minister said. But the deal breaker for me comes at a point where we're operating two systems, a dual system in place where one gives in the form of road accident fund claims, and then you get this one now, the benefit scheme. That's where the issues for me are, Chair. So yeah, thank you. I'm interested in your deal break. Where do we break a deal? Well, I think my colleague has already expressed our position very clearly. Let's amend the Road Accident Fund Act, sorry. I really just want to understand this so that I, as a chair, I try and take everybody on board. The position and Ms. Honorable Hansina, from where you are seated, your biggest gripe is the two parallel systems. Now, if we were to try and follow logic and learn from you, what will be your position once we envisage a situation where once we amend the act itself, we stop everybody that we owe. Let's be factual. We owe people 70 billion. Let's take it as a fact for now, for this argument. So once we pass, we amend the act, all those people falls off. Is that what we envisage, or we will say something to accommodate these people? Because they are here already. We owe them. That is why you can say we owe up to so much. I just want to understand so that as I move forward, we can clear this thing.
Chairperson, people that have claimed, those claims stand, and those claims must be honored. Should the current Road Accident Fund Act be amended, as was the case in 2008 with and after the, if I may call it, the Swiss claim, where it was said that people can't claim in a foreign currency and one can extend any other inclusions and exclusions in the current Road Accident Fund Act, and you would immediately reduce the financial burden going forward. But everybody's current claim will still have to be honored. But if you introduce a new bill, people then, living people that have been in a crash, then have the option to claim under the old act because of the principle, which is a constitutional principle, of a vested right. Or they can claim under the new act. But in terms of financing and making provision for a fund to be able to finance both, for at least 25 to 30 years, you will have to fund both of those. So, in amending the current act, you will only have to honor the old claims, and in amending the current scope of benefits, and also capping legal fees, for instance, you can immediately address expenses under the current regime, aspects which we are in favor of. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable MacDonald.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Deputy Minister, DG. As the DG started his presentation, he discussed the root causes, and it's actually very sad that we are discussing how we're going to pay people after they died or after they get gotten into accidents when we really lack in addressing to reduce the amount of accidents in this country. It's actually a travesty. We have more than 40% of our current deaths are just pedestrians on the road, and we're not addressing that. We're looking at how fast cars are traveling on this. We have a situation in this country where companies like Nissan are manufacturing substandard vehicles for Africa because they don't care about the poor black person in Africa. And they're selling them here at the same prices that they are selling them in the European market, but they're substandard, they don't pass NCAP testing, but we don't say anything about it. But we talk about how we're going to pay this. We must be one of the only African countries where you can cross the border and you don't have to take out third-party insurance for your vehicle. If I take my car to Mozambique to go visit my family in Mozambique, I must, just for my vehicle and my trailer, it's nearly 500 rand because I have to take out additional third-party insurance. If I go to Swaziland, it's the same issue. If I go to Zimbabwe, it's the same issue. But when all those illegal vehicles cross the border, it's a free-for-all in this country, where they come and literally rob us blind in this country. When they call one of the major causes of accidents in this country, the illegal foreign vehicles. But we are quiet about that, and we talk about deaths, how to pay for deaths. It's a travesty of justice, honestly, Chair. Regarding this bill, I hear all the comments of everybody. My question is, we need to have a proper... Now, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know anybody here is from the legal fraternity. And I think we need to get somebody that's proficient to give us an explanation of what will the impacts be regarding previous claims. And because I can see the current system works on a levy. So if I put fuel in today in my vehicle, I paid the fund. So if I get in an accident with that fuel 5 days later after the new, I'm still using that fuel that I paid the levy for the road accident fund. Now it's the RAFs bill. The lawyers are going to rip holes into us, and that's why I just, honestly, DG, honestly, if we can just get clarity on that issue, I think everything will be tied up. And I agree with, I've also raised this last time in last year, the capping of legal fees, that these lawyers are out of control. The lawyers are benefiting better than the people that get into accidents. And that is one of the things that we need to address. And then I'll stop there. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Mangu, thanks, Honourable MacDonald.
Thank you very much, Chair. To complete the cycle, I'll also greet the Deputy Minister, although we walk together to the room, DG and colleagues. I think a lot has been said by the colleagues. Excuse me, I'll try and confine myself with maybe trying to propose a way forward. However, I think my colleague, Comrade McDee, mentioned the issue of accidents and everything, which I think is a fair comment. I think what we must maybe say, and I'm saying now to my colleagues in the committee, hopefully I could sway them, is that one, we were not all here during all these times from 2011, whatever the year might be, till now.
And therefore, DG's comments presuppose that maybe we were all here is a continuation, which I think, colleagues, I would urge you that we consider giving ourselves a little bit of time so that we can satisfy ourselves. Honorable McDee suggests getting somebody to explain something, and there are many other suggestions. So, but in all, Chair, I think I'm trying to convince my colleagues that let's not throw it out. Let's not say let's replace the road accident fund. It might well be the route to go. The question would be, why was it not the route to go 2 years ago, 3 years ago? I don't want to cause any judgment to it, but I'm saying I think it will be fair amongst us as colleagues to agree that let's give ourselves time to really scrutinize this thing, box each other amongst ourselves. Ultimately, we come out and think this is the way we are going. So that will be my firm thing, requiring the colleagues to consider. Because at the heart of this is it's a piece of legislation that can alter, either for the good or for the bad, the future of road accidents or road crash victims and so forth. And it's something that we really need to be very careful and cautious about. Now, I have general comments, but Chair, I will save them if my suggestion through you is carried for that time. And if I were to be more specific, without underestimating the need for conclusion from the department side, I would really propose that maybe in a fortnight from now, as colleagues, we really set ourselves that we are taking a decision once and for all. That would be my firm proposal, Chair. I will leave all the other comments that I have to save you time. Thank you so much, Chair.
Okay, I can see the posture in the house. It's a posture that I don't like for my meeting. Let me, before I summarize, maybe I should just summarize and say, you have something to say, DG? Okay.
No, Chair, I think let's welcome the comments of the members of the committee on this, and to also welcome the proposals that have been made. I know they are not yet accepted by the committee, as the Chair has not announced yet, but I think it will be useful. That as well, Parliament's legal advisory are able to advise the committee on some of the issues raised. And I think we should also from our side apologize for being quite high level then on the presentation. As Honorable Mandu correctly points out, that our understanding was with what the leader of government business agreed with Parliament was that this is a continuation, but perhaps we should have done a greater justice in getting to the nitty-gritties and nuts and bolts so that the new members of the committee can then follow through, including some of the previous engagements our department has had, including the work that has been done. Correctly, one of the members points out that this bill been forthcoming for 3 years now, and during that 3 years it has gone back and forth, and there's been comments by Parliament on legal services, and there's been comments on our side, and there's been what has been incorporated from the hearings and so on. So we could have gone in a bit of detail to explain those procedures, and also to put Honorable Sithole at ease that indeed these public hearings took place. And then it was this former chair of this committee, and they took place. And if he so wishes even today, Chair, we can, with your indulgence, provide the records and everything of all of these hearings, including Soweto and including all other places. We do not have a challenge at doing that at all, but it has been done. And fortunately, Parliament had already shared those records with us as well. So we have them available and ready to provide. Having said that, Chair, I think we will then welcome the guidance of the committee once the committee has gone into the incident committee session and advises us on how it's going to come back on this. And we have noted the whole host of some of the things that have been raised, including the issue of keeping of legal fees and all of that, and even the debate that ensued about why not amend the road accident fund and why replacing it with a totally new scheme. I think the record that we have traversed that journey to arrive where we have arrived, and Cabinet in its wisdom had decided that it was best to replace the old scheme, and these issues of duality were not raised for the first time here. They were raised previously, and all of this were considered in coming here. In fact, on several occasions, the bill was sent back for consideration and amendments and additions to some of the things that had primarily been raised. But I need to also quickly, Chair, with your indulgence, ask them to indicate that I'm in no way malicious or lying when I say that the scheme itself is it's almost 78 years, having first come into being in 1942. The successor to this scheme started with the Motor Vehicle Insurance Act,
Yes, Honorable Member. Can we ask the DG to stick to the technical issues? Leave the politics to politicians. Whether it was done in 19, it would not change the position of the department that you intend to introduce something. I know the temptation to want to correct things the way you think they are. It is always there, that temptation. But my advice is leave it. Leave it to the politicians. That's what they are paid to do. And stick to the technical issues. It will assist us. Because now we will want to respond to what you have said and so forth and so forth. Let's stick to what, why you are here. You want us to assist you in pushing the RUPS bill. There are technical issues there, and let's stick to that. That's my appeal to you, Jay.
Okay. I think let's assist each other for the sake of the house and progress in this house. Let's leave this other issue, DG, that you are trying to explain. Because I want us to go somewhere. Just assist me so that we can arrive where we want to go.
Thank you, Chair. However, I'm going to leave that, but I should request as well, and that in future, Chair, you protect me when aspersions are being cast on my character that impliedly that I am lying or misleading the community. Because what I say is factual, and I thought it is important in defense of my own character to correct what is a wrong position. So in future, then protect me, then I won't need to respond or clarify any such matters. I will leave them as I'm being advised to leave them, but I'm not going to leave the committee when it is on record and on hindsight. A statement that implies that I have lied or I have misled the committee by providing for what it is not essentially there. So I want to work with the committee and I want to assist them in the direction to say, but I can only request that from the chair, the protection. And next time I won't respond, I will protest. I will say, Chair, please. So next time I will do that. But I will not get into the temptation of having to respond as it is said. I will remain the administrator, but I must leave with my technician tight.
So, Chair, that brings us to, then that was my last point, but I felt I would clarify it last, but we welcome the process as the committee say it wants to pursue. Thank you very much.
Okay, I think let's let me try and persuade the House that from where I'm seated, I really don't find that we are so far from each other. Maybe we just need to tie some few loose ends, all of us, and see which could be the best position taking this matter forward. That will actually be in the best interest of our people, government, in the May. So the suggestion by Honorable Manu to say we still have a bit of time to talk to ourselves, maybe a week or two. He says let's deal with this matter in 2 weeks' time, conclude it. Let's try to come closer to each other as a committee and assist the people of South Africa. This bill has been moving back and forth for 3 years. It means if you also calculate the claims between that time, I think that's what the department is trying to raise. As I hear them, to say, try and conclude this thing. Let it not be hanging forever. Let them deal with those things that have also made this bill not to be able to see the light of the day for these 3 years. And I think listening to different members in this committee will assist us for these 2 weeks. Can we live with that, Honorable Members? We will finalize this piece of legislation in 2 weeks. We'll take a decision. We allow members to go and mull over this and convince each other over a cup of tea. And when we come here, we'll just take that decision. Agreed? Agreed. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let me also just say, in parting with this discussion, there are discussions that will make us very tense. We must allow that to happen. The nature of discussions as they come to the table will make us very tense, and sometimes I feel tense myself when I'm here, just that I'm not allowed to show my tenseness. Cool down a bit, we'll get where we are, all of us. Thank you DG, thank you DM and everybody. You are allowed to be dismissed at this point and drink some water and lemon and honey. To those interested parties, I did not get who's here today, the legal fraternity, the media, and everybody. You must come back in 2 weeks' time, we'll take a decision on this matter. Whether we go forward or not. Amend, reject, or accept. So thank you, you are released.
On a point of order, Chair. The meeting is not dismissed and we've not been given a break.
Concerns and so forth and so on.
Yeah, it covered those concerns. So let's leave it at that. This matter is closed. I don't know if you, honorable members, wants to open it here. I thought we'll find sometimes to deal with this matter differently. Because the meeting, one member said correctly, the meeting is still on. So I thought it was you. That member is correct. Let's deal with other stuff and we'll find each other along the way with this matter. There are two honorable members who are violently opposing what I'm saying. Mondise and Honorable Man.
No, Chairperson, actually we are trying to protect you because you see an official when he says he will come and actually protest, it shows another, this is a sign of disrespect. Because what actually Honorable Mabena said is what the official has said, the DG has said. So we have to protect you, Chairperson, now, because when this thing can escalate, it means our committee will not be respected by the official.
Honorable Mangu.
Chair, thank you for your indulgence. I just wanted to concur with what Honorable Mabena is saying. And my colleague here, I never want to agree with Kedema, Honorable Kedema Bala, but on this one I have to. Chair, he did say so. But for me, I'm saying I hear what Honorable Mabena is raising is not necessarily on the reps bill. It's the posture that the DG is taking. And I also find it very, very distasteful. We must try and guide them and assist them. We don't want to fight. You have always guided us in that direction. We are not here to be antagonistic. But we are also here to guide, you know. That's why I found it at pains. I had a lot of things I wanted to raise that year, which I thought were totally unnecessary. You know, it just creates an environment that is not going to be assisting us. So I concur with what Honorable Mabena is saying, and I'm saying I'm sure going forward we can sort of manage it in a much more better way, Chair. Thank you so much.
I think that's the spirit. I was just saying to members, I hear you. When I was drawing my concluding remarks, maybe I was not as emphatic as you would want me to be, but I did note that we should try and control our tempers as we deal with these other issues. And yeah, I'm sure we'll deposit a weight with the DM and others to try and manage properly, because the decorum of the meeting also is a very important aspect moving forward. So I concur with what you are saying, members. That is why I was saying it will be wise for us to close this matter and consider it as being covered. Unless there is something that I'm leaving, Honorable Shabangu.
There's nothing that I would like to say, but in Africa, as I say, I'll draw Abobejan a hole. See, that's what the DG was trying to say in English, but he unfortunately said a pig lipstick with a lipstick. No, that guy must respect us. And you acted precisely like a chairperson. Otherwise, we're going to take you head on. You acted precisely today like a chairperson. So that you cannot go and say you're not protecting him. You protected him 100%. But let him not repeat that thing. Because even the staff that is accompanying him
they started laughing at him. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Honorable members, let's get to the business of the day. We are left with a set of minutes, but before that, there are two issues that we just need to deal with. The first issue comes from a proposal, honorable member, where are you going?
Going to that summit.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Your man.
Yeah. No, no, no. We are learning gradually. There is a matter that was raised by Honorable Hansinger yesterday, and I said, let's look into the matter today. The matter of Wednesdays. You still remember. Let me just go back a bit and then we deal with this matter. I think there's a schedule in front of you written Portfolio Committee on Transport Civil Aviation Amendment Bill, which we had already agreed, if I recall, that we will deal with it on the 4th, which is unfortunately will be on Wednesday. You remember that?
Yeah.
So that is covered. It's our agreement. Am I correct? So that will continue next week, Wednesday, as we have agreed. The 4th, and our next meeting will be Tuesday, the 10th. Is that the only Wednesday where we have already committed ourselves in our program, Valerie?
On the program that was looked at by members last year in V226, there were a couple of Wednesdays meetings. I think it's the 11th and the 18th, but members will know at the public hearing and on the Tuesday whether there's a need to meet Tuesdays and Wednesdays for the deliberations on the bill. So I won't be here. I will be hospitalized and away. So whoever is going to be here, members can just give an indication whether there is a need to meet on the 11th and the 18th, because after that there is a 3-week recess period. But for now, Chair, a definite meeting on Tuesday, the 3rd, to consider the expenditures of the department, the 10th, the public hearing, and then the 4th, the public hearings, and the continuation of the public hearings, and the finalization of that on the Tuesday morning of the 10th, so that the department have time to respond to all the submissions that were made. And then members can indicate whether there's a need to meet the Tuesday and the Wednesday, or just the Tuesday to consider all those submissions that were made.
I think the posture, as I'm getting it, is that beyond our agreement in terms of the bill, there is a wish that we should ease the Wednesdays. I get that posture from members. And I think the understanding, honorable members, is that we will continue to honor those Wednesdays that we had already committed ourselves. Am I getting it clear? So there are no changes, Valerie?
Sir?
What
is the possibility that we can move our meetings from Tuesday to Wednesday?
You are saying the possibility of what?
Moving our meetings from Tuesday to Wednesday.
Yeah.
No. Our meetings on Tuesday.
No. You know, I would love a situation, honorable members, that each and every one of us must be able to be allowed to say their views without any intimidation. I think the member is raising an issue, and we have to listen to that issue and deal with it properly. So you were saying you are more available on Wednesdays?
Yeah.
Than Tuesdays?
Yeah. And all of them agreed.
Chairperson, I've got a portfolio of human settlements on Tuesdays as well, you know, and I can't put it.
Yeah. And you've been with us all the time. Yeah. I think honourable members are trying to push away from Tuesdays. From Wednesdays. Wednesdays. You can hear them agreeing with me. As you thought they are agreeing with you. They are trying to push away from Wednesdays to stay with Tuesdays. I can't tell you the reason, because I'm flexible as a chair. Don't think I'm part of them. I'm just looking at the posture of the majority. So it's okay. I think we are done with this matter. The Wednesdays that we have committed ourselves already, we are going to respect that. And then going forward, we'll try and check the problem. Valerie?
Just as a matter of clarity, because I need to be absolutely sure that this is what the way forward is. Chair, in a week and a half time, we have to present a program to the committee as the support staff for the week, for the week building up to the budget vote debate. And in previous years, the committees would want to call as many of the entities and the department over just a few, I think it's just 3-4 days that we working days that we have. And in that time the committee had to call, previous ones had to call the department and its entities, depending on how many you can manage, on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, even up to a Friday. So I need to know, Chair, is this how it's going to be then? Only Tuesdays and then we... But I need guidance, because it's a real decision, because we will be bringing the program within the next week, and then we will ask the committee, how many of these entities do you think you can call on Tuesday?
Okay. I think we are agreeing that for the purposes of our normal responsibilities, in those responsibilities, we are going to count issues like oversight. If you go on oversight, surely we'll use your Wednesday and Thursdays where we need to. Am I correct?
And Fridays.
Maybe Saturdays. Except Sundays, because some of us are pastors. Right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So those... We are not tampering with. Bring a schedule for a particular purpose. We'll deal with that purpose once the schedule is here. Am I representing you properly, honorable members?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you fine? Thank you. So we're done with this. Can we then deal with the minutes? Okay, before we arrive at the minutes, Honorable Sitlola, you said you wanted to say something.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity, and thank you for the honorable members as well. Chairperson, later this afternoon, the Minister of Finance will be tabling the budget speech. And I would imagine, amongst other things, some of the entities within the department will probably be highlighted from point of view of loss and all of those other things that have got to do with the fiscus of the country. Our transport industry, Chair, is dominated by unregulated, unsafe and deeply entrenched parallel as an industry. The challenges that we have as a department, which were in respect of public transport, which were mandated to 13 cities in this country to introduce a safe, reliable and sustainable integrated transport service within those municipalities. We have seen, Chair, over the past five or so financial years, dating back from 2013, 2014 up until 2016-17, in respect of the National Public Transport Network grant allocation and expenditure analysis that we have done ourselves. Chair, we've got the city of Cape Town, Joburg, Tshwane and George, which currently run the integrated public transport system in respect of the BRT or the buses. Over the past four financial years, the Department of Transport has spent over 41 billion in the 13 cities to have them have buses running. Of course, there were those particular metros that were under construction and some that were still on the planning and initial phase of the network. However, Chair, over the past few months, we have learned through media and other sources of metro municipalities that are still unable to provide reliable public transport via the BRT system. Amongst others that are on the news, the Go Durban buses in Mangaung, as well as in Rustenburg, and Etekwini respectively. We have a responsibility and a duty as a committee to make sure that whatever grants the department offers municipalities and provinces respectively, that we provide oversight on how those grants are utilized and whether in actual fact service delivery does take place within those particular institutions. With over 41 billion already spent, Chair, now I've not included 2018-19-20 in this expenditure analysis, I think it would fare well for us as a committee to have a look at those metro municipalities that are currently facing challenges in respect of their road network, and either as a committee take a decision to either summon those particular municipalities to come and account to the committee in terms of their expenditure ability, in terms of where they are with the buses, or we either visit these particular municipalities to have a full sense of what is in actual fact happening in respect of the fund that has been provided by this department to those specific municipalities. I do not think, in respect of what the Minister of Finance will outline today, in respect of our country's economy, I do not think that we can afford to have municipalities that are unable to execute and implement a process where we are supposed to be helping and assisting our communities with reliable public transport. And I move that this particular committee, our committee of transport, accept my submission so that either in this year and the coming year, a program is made available where we go to these particular municipalities and go have a look at what is exactly happening in respect of implementing what the Department of Transport is paying for from a national grant point of view. I so move, Chair.
Yeah, I think, Honourable Member, we did deal with our program for the next 4 years, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
When we were dealing with strategic planning session on the 4th and 5th of February. And in that planning, we did put our priorities properly, and in those priorities we also have oversights. Am I correct, members? And we had not populated, actually, where are we going, and so forth and so on. So I think as we arrive at that point, we should just be able to plot where we want to go. This issue raised was also raised of following our money. And I did raise it yesterday also, that where we put money, we are going to follow it. So as we deal with the schedule, I think just remember that we should take all these issues and other issues that members should raise with us. So I don't see this as a motion standing alone, which is not covered in the program, unless I'm missing any point here. Thank you. Can we now deal with the minutes? The minutes of the 18th of February. Do we all have those minutes with us? Right, page one of the minutes, corrections. Is that the chairman?
Page one under political party there. African National Congress. Their names there, no line of demarcation, Democratic Alliance, the same, EFF, Lulu Shungu, there is a line there, that line should be done away with, and erected economic freedom fighters. Thank you. Can you see that, Chairman?
Economic freedom fighters, ne? There is Ms. Nolu Chungu and there is Mr. M.M. Chabangu.
Yeah, there is a line on the right there. That line should be done away with. Or, no, like others, it must be written EFF. That line on top of economic freedom fighters, it separates Nolichungu to Chabang, and it says nothing about Nolichungu.
Yes.
Can you show him?
I'm coming to you.
Why are you energetic today?
Different document than this one I'm having. So we do understand, Honorable Chabangu, you are correct in terms of the document you have. Ne?
It's good that they gave me a wrong document so that I can rectify the mistake and gave you the right one.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Page 2. Any correction? Page 3. Any correction?
Chair, excuse me, through you, Chair. Page 3, the last sentence, the EFF abstained from voting. Mm-hmm. I don't think we voted. I think they... What's the right word? They indicated their abstinence from processing.
But there was not a vote.
Yeah. I don't know how best to put it. Semantics? But there was no vote, technically. But they did indicate maybe their objection. Something to that effect.
If I'm representing them well.
You know, Honorable Mwanyo, you remind me of yesterday's situation.
You started.
No, we understand what happened that day, ne?
What was happening yesterday, Jackson?
That day. I'm not talking about yesterday. I think we understand. We had, I rounded members individually to say support, and the EFF did say we abstain. Right? So I think the spirit of this sentence is to reflect what happened during that day. I'm not fussy about how we put it. I think that's the spirit.
I withdraw.
Thank you, Honorable Mani. Page 4. Any correction? None. Page 5. Can we move for adoption? Honorable McDonald?
Before.
Okay, before.
I think Mr. Manu is right. We don't vote here. We vote in the House. That's where we are going to abstain. Here we just discuss things and then we don't say we are voting unless there is something else.
So you are together.
Ah. You know, somebody just said yesterday, hey, we can vote now. Yeah. Honorable McDonald?
Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Any seconder? Honorable Shabang?
Yeah.
Your second one.
I think it's the first
time. Chair, can I just raise something if you allow me, Chair? It's not about minutes, but it's linked to the minutes.
Yes, yes.
We discussed it some time before, but I still have some concern, which maybe you don't need to respond to today. I still am missing where we are able to see if this is the decision we took, if there are decisions, so that we can track them. Our minutes, of course, are in line with the standards, fully agreed. I think we also agreed at some point that we'll have a tracking system. I don't know whether I'm still too early or ahead of myself. Because we are having so many things happening, and by the time we wake up, we can't remember where we started and what do we need to follow up. That's my submission, Chair. Thank
you. That submission will be processed properly because you really did not want a response. I'm not just saying we'll process that before we open up any other thing. We're done with the minutes. We're done with honorable members. Let me just give this as a parting shot. Okay. Honorable Hansen.
Sorry, Chair. I just waited for some indication from your side that we have reached the end of this meeting. Because while we were dealing with the program and the difficulties in attending Wednesdays in addition to Tuesdays, our committee secretary, Valerie Karelse, dropped the point that she's due for a medical procedure. And I think in all fairness and also through the spirit and relationship that we have in this committee, I think it's appropriate to wish her everything of the best, having to go and undergo a medical procedure, and we wish her the best and good recovery. Thank you, Chair.
Can we agree today that he's speaking on behalf of
yeah.
all of us? I've learned in this committee that I should not accept, always. Okay. Thanks, Honorable Hansinger. I think that goes for all of us. Let me say, I think my view is that we're doing very well as a committee. We're trying not to be partisan. That is why we don't look at numbers and so forth. because my belief is that we should try and serve our people, black and white, in this case. And as we do that, we must try and find ourselves as much as we can. Where we can find ourselves, it should not be because we have just woke up and took a decision because one party has numbers over the other. That is why sometimes I when we have time, I would want to say, hey, let's pull this thing back and see if we can find each other. It is in that spirit, actually, that I think let's use this opportunity as the committee to try and service our people properly, irrespective of where they are, irrespective of their race, and so forth and so on. And I want to say, in the spirit of that, we are still doing very well. I must say, there might be hiccups there and there, but I think we're working harmoniously, and I'm sure we will find each other also in this rough spiel. And process it. Leave the temptation of numbers and stick with the content. Because it will go down to record that it is us who passed this one with all its flaws. Or we bettered it properly, which is what I think we should be doing. And many other bills, of course, as we move on. Otherwise, we enjoy the budget speech. We will have our mini budget speech. I could feel that the honourable member there is already prepared for our own mini budget speech. There are issues I've taken from what you were saying, very objective. I may want to put at that time as we deal with that, honourable Sekhulo. So don't think I've not heard you and your concerns. As I open, not taking a thunder from the owner, if you happen to make it to be part of the list, I'm sure you'll raise your other issues, but I will steal some from you, and please don't remind me they come from DA. They are part of the committee. That was my parting shot, and don't disallow the Chairperson's party, John. Thank you very much.
Yeah, now that the meeting has been closed.